Hello, I'm Mark Steinman. Welcome back. See, Zach says things. It makes me laugh before I can say hello to everybody.
There you go.
What am I doing?
It's good to start laughing.
It is. I'm Mark Steinman here with Leah Gilmore.
Here I am in the house.
Welcome to Mark Steinman. You've been overseas.
Yeah, I have been, and I've missed you.
I missed you, too.
Yeah, but now I'm back.
Now you're back.
For a few weeks.
For a few weeks. And then you're going to Siberia?
Yes.
Siberia.
I'm going to Siberia.
Yeah, I know black folks in Siberia, do they?
Honey, well, they'll have one. One very significant one.
Okay. Well, that's cool. You're going off to do the same work you do, whether it's with the Irish and the Scots and the Belgians and Italians. Civil rights work here. It's that bringing the message of peace through music.
Bringing the message of, exactly, peace through music. Never thought it would take me to Siberia. You know, I'm just a girl from Northeast Baltimore. I grew up here near Morgan, and now this is what's happening, so I'm very blessed.
I know. That's a long way from parents, sharecroppers, to you going to Northeast Baltimore.
My dad was a sharecropper.
And now you're off to Siberia.
All right. And I'm a proud graduate of Morgan State University.
There you go.
So,
by the way, folks, join us here at 410-319-8888. We're about to, in a minute, talk to Lucas Vasquez from the Wall Street protesters. We're going to have some protesters from Baltimore here later. We're going to talk a bit about the Wall Street protests, the Occupy protests in America, and also about these Republican candidates and your thoughts. So 410-319-8888. Write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com, 410-319-8888. But you were, before we turn to Lucas and introduce him to, he's been on a show before from New York. talk a bit about what you saw in Europe.
Well, you know, the Occupy movement was real. I was there for 3 weeks, and the Occupy movement was really starting to take off when I first got there. And there was this big mystery, and then all of a sudden the BBC got on it. And then it started replicating in other countries, small but powerful. And, you know, there were great difficulties in Europe with the euro during that period. And, you know, there were protests everywhere. And the Occupy movement just really inspired a lot of people who were just angry, period. Angry at Wall Street, angry at their versions of Wall Street. And, you know, it is really, some people think that this is even a moving to a different time, a post-Reaganesque era, as I read in the New York Times, you know, that we've had 30 years of the 99.1% of the 1% and the 99% of the rest of us, as they have they've put it so simply. I mean, it's much more complex than that, that we could be moving into a whole nother era.
Well, I think these demonstrations, even if they go quiet over the winter, maybe they won't, are not going to end. They're very complex, too. I mean, what you're seeing all through Europe, students in Madrid.
Oh, yes.
Rome,
and I was in
Paris.
Spain.
You were in Spain.
I was in Barcelona, and I was actually, you know, I can't help stop by a good movement. I can't help, you know, even if it was in Spanish. I understood what the principle was, and it was definitely happening there. And I don't think the winter is going to stop it. I don't. I think that we truly are starting to feel a bit of anger and frustration over the situation.
Let's get Lucas Vasquez on. He's been on a show like 3 times before. He's one of the
great
Occupy Wall Street people, organizers, and he's a senior at Walt Whitman High School in Huntington, New York, and has joined us numerous times. And Lucas, welcome. Good to have you with us, man.
Thanks for having me. Great to be here again.
Hi, Lucas.
So were you there when the police arrived to clean out the park?
I'm not out of the park right now.
No, man, the other night when the police came, were you there?
Yes, I was there for a little bit. What happened is that they unexpectedly, at 2 a.m. last night, they came in with many reinforcements with riot police and set up a 2-4 block radius so no one could get in the park or out of the park.
Wow.
They blocked everything off.
Goodness.
And they did not let anybody, even with a press pass, in or nor out. They arrested 5 reporters, including AP News, New York Times, and the Daily News. So you could, that right there by itself is very evident of how militaristic the raid was. And also what happened, they came in and didn't let anyone out and just arrested everybody inside the park. Not only did they arrest them, they pepper sprayed a woman in her 80s. In her 80s. It just shows how brutal they were. They beat bloody a New York City council member. His name is Idanis Rodriguez. He's on the council of the New York City government, and he's beat bloody and arrested, and he spent 15 hours in jail without the right to see an attorney. That just shows how brutal the police have been with us.
Lucas, what sparked, what are the, you know, because protests are definitely protected constitutionally. What was it? Was it the camping they said what was illegal? What sparked this type of, you know, in the middle of the night raid?
You know, I think Bloomberg have been, I mean, there's been reports already on the internet that Homeland Security has been planning this for a while, and nationally they've been coordinating an eviction like this. His justification was that public safety was at risk. And when we argue that our First Amendment rights have been violated, he admits that they have been. This is what he says. He says that public safety and the general health of the area is more important than our First Amendment rights. First of all, I disagree. I think public health and safety was fine. We had actually certified doctors and nurses on site protecting people and trying to care for them. And he said that it was hurting business and such, which is actually the opposite. We were producing more for small businesses because we would attract more customers from Occupy Wall Street, obviously.
Right.
And as well, the police barricades forced many businesses to have to fire employees because it didn't attract as much business.
So what about the, sorry, Mark.
No, please go
but
right
what
ahead.
What about, you know, there were some worries, and you can tell me how legitimate they are, about the drug use and noise and sanitary conditions. Was this true? Was this happening? I mean, was this something that was pervasive? Or was this really reasons that were given to let this raid happen?
Yeah, so there was drumming, but we actually agreed.
I said drug use. Drumming is awesome.
Right. We actually agreed with the community board that we'd stop drumming at night hours. Mm-hmm. But drug use, there was drug use, you know, because, and it's a reflection of what society is. Because our camp is so open, we can't just tell someone who looks suspicious to leave and force them to leave, because we're not a police force. So it's obvious and evident that a homeless person or a drug user would come in, and we had free food, so we would supply. They could get free food if they wanted. Mm-hmm. It's a place to sleep in a tent. So it's obvious that they would come, but we as the movement, try to set up security to really prevent that from happening. But we can't forcibly eliminate that. Just as much as the police can't eliminate that from society as well.
Right.
So I don't think that's a justification.
Right.
So let me open the phones here, 410-319-8888. A lot of people called in, and some of you got frustrated very quickly and left, but come back at 410-319-8888. One caller named Jason wanted to know where you were going in Siberia.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I'm going to a city called Novosibirsk, which is the third largest city in Russia, right behind Moscow and St. Petersburg. And I hear it gets to be negative 40. I'm hoping that's Celsius. I don't know which is worse because, you know, Celsius, Fahrenheit. No matter how much I travel, I'm just lost with that.
You can be cold.
I'm going to be cold. And I don't even think my thickness is going to help
410-319-8888. Now we straighten that out. Andrea in Baltimore, you're on the air.
In support.
Hello, Andrea.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Good.
Welcome. Great. Thank you.
Yeah. I was calling in support of all of the Occupy movements in our country, outside of our country. And then I hope some people use a little creativity and possibly form some other movements. Also, even change of lifestyle, you know, because, you know, I'm in one aspect, I'm happy about the movement. But then another aspect, you know, you kind of feel like, wow, we're trying to treat a gunshot with just a Band-Aid. So I think we need more, and we need to get in, like I said, also just some personal accountability where, okay, you know, I'm not going to buy into the credit card. I'm not going to buy into a lot of the things that are marketed to us off of emotions that make corporate America rich. And you know what? We're going to maybe even move into the direction where we can get corporate America out of our politicians' lives, and we truly run our country instead of corporate America. because I think we have some great politicians. I think we have people that have integrity. But the reality is, you know, politics is really kind of ran by corporate America. And mm-hmm. not through, you know, people are not able to remain with their integrity of spirit that right. they start out with. So that's all my comment, and I hope you have a safe trip to Siberia.
Thank you.
Thank you, Andrea.
I appreciate that. I think Andrea has put a, it's a long trip, that's for sure. I think Andrea has made some great points. You know, we really need to take a lot of, you know, this these lobbyists, the corporate lobbyists out of our political lives as well. You know, when we've seen an increase, as long as we've seen regulations decrease, we've seen this type of behavior increase.
Right.
And so it is definitely, I think people are angry for a reason, for real reasons. And she said something interesting, putting a Band-Aid on a bigger problem.
Yep.
And the thing about it is it has to start somewhere. You know, you have to start.
You know,
and I don't know what the ultimate tactics are, but I like that somebody is doing something.
You know, I want to talk about what's happening tomorrow in a minute because it's solidarity. And Luis is still with us. Lucas is still with us. I'm going to go to Margaret, who's part of the Occupy DC movement, Freedom Plaza.
Wonderful.
Have them both on together for a moment. And Lamar, Michael, and Clash are going to come to your calls next to get you on the air with us. There is one politician I was talking to the other day that has a very interesting project going. And his project is just what they're talking about, getting corporate money out of politics.
Mm-hmm.
It's John Sarbanes. Third District Democratic Congressman yeah. from Maryland. He has never taken one dime of corporate PAC money.
And you know, he's still a congressman.
Well, you know what he's doing now?
There you
Instead,
go.
He is trying to make an example of what public funding could do. So he's got money from his donors mm-hmm. that he's not taking until he gets 1,000 people from the grassroots to support his campaign to match the money from
the large donors.
So he's starting a whole campaign around grassroots donors to get people to support campaigns and to begin a national conversation how to get corporations out of politics.
That's very interesting.
So there are people we elect to office who are trying to think in a different way.
Outside the corporate box.
Right.
And you know, but they're even, and you know, I am very ideological and I know it. So, and there you go. But there are even Republicans who are ultra-conservative Republicans like Tom Coburn from Oklahoma, who are starting to say that, you know, we really need to do something about this. You know, the haves have too much and the have-nots have not enough.
Right.
You know, and so when we have ultra-conservative Republicans who are known for their conservatism and their ideology, who are recognizing this situation, then I think we're definitely moving to a different time.
Folks, what you think? 410-319-8888. Lucas Vasquez is with us from Occupy Wall Street. He was there when the police came. He's been there since the beginning and been a participant and organizer, a senior at Walt Whitman High School in Huntington, New York.
Now he's a baby doing the good work. Good for you, Lucas.
There's young people out there doing it.
Yeah.
And let's get Margaret on the air. Margaret Flowers is calling in from, I don't know if she's in Washington, D.C. today or Baltimore, but she is part of the Occupy D.C. at Freedom Plaza. Margaret, welcome. Good
Hi,
to have you with
Margaret.
Us again.
Margaret.
Thank you, Mark, and it's great to hear your voice, Leah.
Oh, so wonderful to hear you, and I knew you would be there. Okay.
Well, you know, I just want to make a couple comments, because as Mark, as you know, when we started organizing the Occupation of Freedom Plaza in the spring of this year, we saw it really as the beginning of what needs to happen, an independent movement that uses nonviolent tactics to weaken the current power structure.
Right.
And so this really is the beginning, but we are determined to stay there. I was down there. Every other week I stay there for the full week, and then on the other weeks I go back and forth. So I've just returned from there. But today we spent the day doing our winterizing planning. We fortunately have some very astute people on the plaza who are looking into what kind of structures we can build and how we can heat them, you know, with bike generators and things of that nature to get us through the wintertime. We're building towards an even bigger occupation in the spring called the National Occupation of Washington, D.C., or now D.C., for the end of March. And I wanted to let your listeners know that there's lots happening on Freedom Plaza if they want to stop by. We have actions almost every day, sometimes multiple actions, and we're very focused on the Super Committee, which is going to be possibly making recommendations next week. And those recommendations are not going to be good for the 99%. So we're working really hard today. We delivered a proposal to one of the senators, and tomorrow we'll take them to more members of the super committee, about what the 99% see as solutions to our deficit.
Well, I'm going to get some calls here. Mark, you can stay on. We have Lucas with us. A lot of people are calling in. I want to get them on the air. And since you both are here representing two different movements, and we can talk a bit about what's happening tomorrow with this International Day.
That's right.
Which can be big all over the world.
All over the world.
And let's get to our listeners and see what they think. 410-319-8888 is the number here. And Michael up in Northwest, you're on the air. We have Michael? Michael, you're on the air. You there, Michael?
Michael's not there.
Is he up? Go ahead, Michael. Michael, we got a second to get you back to the phone, then we got to move on. I'm just putting you on first because I have my note here saying you're a critic of Occupy. I want to hear what you got to say, but... All right, well, if you can think about it, you'll call back. 410-319-8888. Let's go to Clarence. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Mr. Steiner.
Hi, Clarence.
Hi, Clarence.
From the start of the movement, I've been kind of fearful for the people on the ground, knowing, crowd mentality and police mentality when those two forces meet up. But I think it's systematic. We're not going to have in America our own version of Tiananmen Square systematically, like in Oakland, where it was mentioned that the Oakland City Chamber of Commerce put pressure on the mayor to quell that particular movement in the actions that she did out there. And then I see it in New York. That's why I made the point about if anything anybody should be mad about was the fact that that large donation that J.P. Morgan, it's something straight out of The Godfather, like... hey, this Occupy Wall Street is bad for business. Do something about it. I really didn't like that. But when you talk about getting the money out of politics, look at the recent Supreme Court decision where it gave corporations the same rights as an individual. How can a movement like Occupy Wall Street effectively go to root causes of the problem like that? You know, that's my comment.
I think that's an excellent comment, and that shows the importance of elected officials getting the right people on the Supreme Court, you know,
yes.
Because I think the caller made such a great point. When you personify a corporation legally, you have really changed the paradigm of how we've been living, you know, and you have made it easier for those, you know, few percentages to get more money, to gain more wealth. So it comes back to who we elect. That's the bottom line.
I'll go back to some callers here, and I want Lucas to jump in on these callers because they're going to talk a bit about Occupy, and I want you to jump in with your thoughts. One thing that I'll tell you on the way there is that what he just said, you know, before 1890s in America, and into the early part of the 20th century, most states made it illegal for corporations to put money behind candidates.
That's right.
And it was the 14th Amendment that got things turned around because it was the way they said persons, which could mean anything, even though there weren't corporations like that back then. And so there's a whole way of if they had used the word natural persons, which was in the Constitution,
right,
then the corporations wouldn't have the right. And that's part of the twist that people are using. So there's a lot to that, and maybe one of the things you'll see popping up is people saying we should amend the 14th Amendment to just say natural persons,
right?
410-319-8888. Lamar, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hi, Lamar. You're on the air.
Hi, Lamar.
Yeah, you know, I think that when you talk about that, the movement, I think it's a little misguided. And here's what I mean by that. Are they protesting banks or corporations? Or if they're protesting corporations, is there a certain size? It just seems like it's just a broad brush against people of means. I agree that money should be out of politics. That's the root of all that evil. If they really wanted to make a difference, target the politicians and get them defeated. Because sitting in front of a building and, you know, it's not going to – no one from Wall Street is going to walk out and say, you know what, I'm going to change my policy. Because you're sitting here, they're going to continue to do what they're going to do. If you want to effect change – don't just set up tent towns and yell and scream. Get the people who are giving these corporations or these businesses or whoever it is that you're targeting the ability to do that.
Well, let me do this. Hold on a second. Let Lucas, how do you respond to that?
Right. Well, what I say to that is a couple of things.
First of all, I think the politician, like Michael Moore said, is actually the middleman. Because guess who funds those politicians? The corporations. So at the end of the day, the corporations are the ones that have the power. Second of all, by what we're doing, we're not just trying to influence politicians and try to get legislation passed. What we're trying to do is establish alternate institutions, such as emphasize the use of credit unions. What we have done in the past 2 months is exceeded the amount of money shifted from big banks to credit unions throughout the whole past year in just 1 month. So we put hundreds of thousands of millions of dollars closing our bank accounts in big banks that caused the economic crisis, such as Bank of America and Chase, and actually shifted that money to local credit unions who are not speculative traders or speculative lenders who actually foreclose illegally on people. They are just set up so it's a real banking system at a local level so people don't have to have their money risk when they put it inside a bank, and it can actually be safe and be used for the community, not some CEO.
So, and Lombardo, very quickly, how would you respond to that? And then we can go back to next caller.
I think everything is done because politicians pass legislations that benefit businesses or corporations. If you want to do something, go after the politicians, get them defeated, stop allowing them to pass laws, because in the end, these laws that they're passing is meant to benefit them. How many politicians go into politics broke or from, you know, not broke, but middle class and come out rich? I mean, I think on 60 Minutes this weekend, they were just talking about how politicians are allowed to do what is considered insider trading. I mean,
that's right.
That's right. That's right.
Go after those guys. Mm-hmm. Get rid of them, because the way that these corporations function, whether it's through the regulations that are passed or what have you, is because of the legislation that these politicians.
Let me say why it's hard to do, Lamar. I think you're right in some levels, but then we go to the next caller, and this is something I realized learned the other day. The PACs that have been built on the right wing have this one PAC in particular. And I'm blocking on the guy's name, but it'll come to me in a minute because he's a very famous name. I don't know why I'm blocking on it.
It has been built on the right thing.
It has $250 million they're holding on to. What they do is, at the end of a race, when they think they can go after somebody, they dump hundreds of thousands of dollars in a race to defeat somebody before the progressive, liberal, whatever it is they don't like, candidate can raise any more money to go back at them and destroy them. The problem is the money in politics is working is either working to undermine candidates because it's all corporate money, or it's running for the right wing to push people out and use that money in a very deceptive way. And so that's the problem.
And there's not just one of those PACs doing that. There are many, many PACs doing that. I've never been comfortable with the whole PAC concept, but I think we should definitely go to more callers.
Let's do that. And Clarence, Mimi, Fred, Rich, we're coming right to you. And Mimi, you're next. Oh, no, Clarence, you're next, then Mimi.
Hi, Clarence.
Hi, Clarence. You there, Clarence?
Okay.
All right, let's go to Mimi. You're on the air.
Hey, good evening, Mr. Steiner.
Good evening. Mimi.
Thank you for having a wonderful program every evening.
Thank you.
I wanted to make a comment about Occupy Baltimore.
Sure.
The Move On group, political group, is having a rally tomorrow for Baltimore at Howard and North Avenue at 4:30. Mm. And I don't know if that's contrary to, you know, the whole thing in Inner Harbor, but I think it's a great thing that people are standing up. They're saying they've had enough. We're the 99%, and we're really suffering because we cannot have the same quality of life as even 10 years ago.
Mimi, I hear you. I think that, and we're going to be having a couple of folks come on, one of the organizers for Good Jobs for Better Baltimore, which is part of Unite Here, the union, coming on with somebody from Occupy Baltimore. I think you're talking about the same demonstration taking place tomorrow in Baltimore. And that's what's strong about that is there's a union lining up with the occupiers.
SEIU,
which is a union made of mostly people of color.
That's right.
And one of the great myths about this Occupy movement is when we visited them everywhere, whether it was D.C., New York, or around the country, we talked to them, is that this is just a bunch of white folks.
Not true
and
at
it's not.
All. And not just it different colors, but we're talking different classes.
Right.
You know, Margaret Flowers, who called, who is one of the grandest activists I know, she's a physician. And she's also a musician. And, you know, she stands hand in hand with everyone else. So I think this, and I think we should talk a little bit more about Occupy Baltimore, because Occupy Baltimore has been going on quite some time as well in McKeldin Square.
It has. It has. And Lucas, they're going to come on in just a few minutes, the mm-hmm. Occupy Baltimore people. Before we go to the next caller, Lucas, did you talk to the multiracial character of what you see in Occupy New York?
Yeah, I actually think in the beginning, you know, I think it was primarily many college graduates who are white and in their young 20s. But now you see a change in race coming into the park with many unions and community organizations getting involved. I mean, you know, we have a people of color working group, so they can represent themselves, mm-hmm. not someone else. So they have their own caucus, autonomous caucus, to really try and have a dialogue and see what them as a community of color who have been oppressed all their lives because of their color from police harassment, stop and frisk laws, etc., what they can do as united to really defeat that. So I really think that the perspectives of minorities are coming into it in a bigger scale, and I think that's what's most important, that they are the most oppressed groups and people that are living today, because the majority of impoverished people today and people who have their homes foreclosed upon are African Americans and Latinos. So I think they have to be at the forefront of the struggle on this movement, leading the movement to end this kind of oppression.
Let's go to the caller in here. Sorry.
Yes.
410-319-8888. Let's who's been on the longest next. Fred, you're on the air. Then Rich is next. Fred, you're on the air.
Yes.
Hi, Fred.
I'm just going to make good. How's everyone?
Well, welcome.
Well,
thank
you.
A couple of points that I work in and believe in. First of all, the protesters in different cities in America, they should have went directly to Washington, D.C. and mass in great numbers in Washington, D.C., in front of the White House, in front of the Capitol building, in front of the United States Senate. You know, they should have shut Washington, D.C. down. Next thing I would like to make a comment mm-hmm. is that, you know, let's be truthful. We have the best politicians money can buy. that's what it is. You have a bunch of gangsters and criminals that wear shirt and tie suits, Brooks Brothers suits, and that's what they are. They're just fancy criminals. That's just what it is. To make it in America, the working man doesn't succeed in America. You have to be a criminal. And what I mean by being a criminal, and don't go to jail. Do your dirt. Stay out with freedom. Amass a lot of money. And you don't see none of the big boys going to jail. No, you don't. You know, so I think we, you know, we have to be truthful. You know, what this country is on the verge of having, we're on the verge of having an economic collapse in this country. Now, once that happens, I can guarantee you the people's going to be in the streets.
What you said about Washington, D.C., now, Lucas, I don't know if you're aware of this. You may be aware of this, and maybe you can comment on it. But I know when I was in D.C. talking to Margaret Flowers and a bunch of others who were in Occupy D.C., that they've been talking to folks at Occupy New York and talking to occupiers all across the country about doing just that, organizing and occupy the Capitol next April. Are you part of that?
Well, no, because guess
no,
what?
No. I was asking Lucas, who's a part of Occupy New York.
Guess what?
Wait, just a second. I was asking Lucas Vasquez, who's in New York, who's one of our guests, to comment. Lucas?
Yeah, I've heard all about that, and I think that's going to be a pivotal and climatic point for this movement, to see people from all over the country come in and join forces at the Capitol, where really greed is prevailing and lobbying and corporate money are taking over our politicians who supposedly represent us. So I think that's going to be a huge day, and you already see so much commitment. There's actually a group mm-hmm. of 30 people who set out on a march about a week ago from New York to Washington, D.C., to stop at many cities in between and really rally up people to come with them to D.C. So I think that's going to be a huge point in our movement.
Right. We have to take a very brief break and come back. And I think we'll be joined by folks here in studio as well. Jennifer Foster from Organized with Good Jobs, Better Baltimore. Those of you who are calling in and really have some questions about Occupy, oppose it, don't think it's a good idea, think that this is the wrong way for things to go, we want to hear from you at 410-319-8888. We also want to hear from those of you who support it, those of you who just have questions. Lucas will stay with us for a little bit. from New York. And Lee and I will stay in the studio with you until 7 p.m. as we range to this and other things. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Mark Steiner.
And I'm Leah Gilmore.
Who is cultural correspondent for the Center for Emerging Media.
She loves it.
We love it, too, which is the nonprofit that we have. Our production company produces this show and puts Anthony McCarthy on the air and is doing the Soundbites Project, which is transforming the food system in America. They produced Just Words that won a Peabody for its bringing the voices of the working poor to the airwaves. And our documentary on the on Vietnam and with Vietnamese with veterans from all sides of that war. And right now you're listening to Mark Steiner's show that comes out of that. And we have with us in the studio Jennifer Foster. Welcome, Jennifer. Good to have you in the studio.
Welcome, Jennifer.
Glad to be here.
Who is organizing with Good Jobs for Better Baltimore, putting on this piece tomorrow, where unions are coming out to kind of work with Occupy. We'll talk about that. We'll also, Lucas Vasquez is still with us on the air. He is an organizer, participant in Occupy Wall Street, was there when the police moved in the other night, and is a senior at Walt Whitman High School in Huntington, New York, and is the face and voice of the future and the present. 410-319-8888. Write us here at steinershow@gmail.com. Jeff, you're the next caller up. Rich, well, we're going to hear what you had to say, but you left us. People are very impatient when they get in the air. We're not letting them honestly. So call back, 410-319-8888. On our way there, I want you to, Jennifer, tell us what's happening on Saturday. What is this?
Tomorrow. Yes, on November 17th, which is tomorrow, is a National Day of Action. So it's basically, well, you guys alluded to it earlier about the International Day of Action. So we know of over 30 cities that's participating. We'll be on here in Baltimore on the Howard Street Bridge. And so what we're going to be doing, it's Good Jobs, Better Baltimore, and a coalition of other organizations like Move On, the lady I called in earlier, and Transform Baltimore Bridge and Occupy Baltimore. All of us together will be going onto this bridge. It'll be about 200 people. We'll be marching on the bridge.
On the bridge or on the sidewalks?
On the sidewalks of the bridge, let's be clear. On the sidewalks of the bridge.
I mean, either way.
I kind of figured the sidewalks.
Yes, yes. I don't know what they're doing in other cities, but we'll be walking on the sidewalks of the bridge and holding a candlelight vigil for the jobs that could have been created with the American Jobs Act.
So, and this is, there are a lot of unions involved with this too, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
Right. Groups like Unite Here.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, I know that we have some other unions, like 32BJ and Local 500 and some other SEI unions.
Oh, there's SEI unions. Right.
Yes, and other unions too that are going to be participating.
So there is this International Day
of action
from across the globe.
Across the globe.
And it's it is something that has been highly publicized on the web. I think this is the power of social media we're about to see. That, you know, 10 years ago, we couldn't have gotten the same amount of people out as we have now. You wouldn't have known that because 10 years ago, you would have been in elementary school.
Maybe high school.
No, but what's great about that is there's so much momentum around it. What is the ultimate goal? I mean, when you do something like this, what do you think your ultimate goal is?
Well, we know now that the Super Committee, and people have talked about this early on in the show, the Super Committee is going to be meeting and they're going to be discussing what programs they should be cutting, right? Like programs like Social Security and Medicare.
Right.
And not talking about how to create jobs. So right now in Washington, their priorities are the 1%. And they're representing the 1%. And this action is about making sure the 99% are heard. And the people who are trying to take care of their families and people who are trying to work or looking for jobs, those people are heard. So ultimately, we want to make sure that the folks in Washington and the corporations and the big banks hear what we're doing.
Mm-hmm. Let's go back to the phones. And Lucas, you still with us?
Yeah.
Good. 410-319-8888 is the number here. Jeff, you're on the air.
Hey, Mark. Thanks for having me.
Hi, Jeff.
Welcome.
Yeah, so I've been hearing a lot recently about how Occupy Wall Street is too heavy on the Occupy and too light on the Wall Street. I just want to point out that, you know, this encampment is exactly what I feel like the left has been doing strongly over the past, you know, number of years and some of which I've actually seen firsthand here in Baltimore in activism that I've been a part of. And that is that Occupy's encampment is building the kind of world and kind of vision that they that we want to see for the larger kind of a global community. You see at the encampment different station a model of like direct democracy where people are having their own a general assembly. They vote on everything, and everyone has their own chance to voice their opinion. And that's juxtaposed against this very top-down sort of hierarchical system that we currently have where people are feeling, not represented. So I just want to kind of pick your brain on that point.
It's a really interesting point.
It is an interesting point.
Lucas, you want to jump in first?
Yeah, sure. So basically, he got it on point. So we are basically creating alternate institutions that practice non-hierarchical organizing and horizontal democracy. So at the end of the day, our vision, what we want to see established during the course of this movement is for workplaces and unions to eliminate the bureaucracy and hierarchy and establish general assemblies and direct democracy where everybody has an equal voice in a decision-making body, where we want the worker to have just as much of a voice as the boss. So that's what we really want to see, and we don't think maybe politicians could help, but at the end of the day, we have to pressure our institutions that don't practice that to really to engage in that kind of direct democratic process. And we as the movement practice that through the General Assembly and are creating an example for others to follow.
Yeah. Well,
how would you pick up on that, Jennifer? By the way, welcome Mike McGuire for Occupy Baltimore.
Thank you very much.
To have you here, man.
Hi, Mike.
Well, I think that we agree on along the lines of the same things. So we work with a lot of unions, so we understand what it means to have power at the workplace and to make sure that the folks that are making the decisions and the folks that are doing the work can have some kind of equal playing ground.
And Mike, welcome to the show. Good to have you back again, man.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's really great to hear.
And what's interesting is also looking at this in terms of the perspective of this and I just want to have the three of you talk for a minute before we go back to Stephen coming in on the next caller. And Clarence, we'll try to get you on. Your name is still there. See if you're still here. This International Day of – what's it called? International Day of
– Action.
I felt like Rick Perry there. third one was
– But I won't
was that
treat
a Rick Perry
you.
Moment? Was that
I won't a, treat you like
– Was that a Rick Perry moment?
Right.
Oh, my God. Anyway. So talk a bit about that.
No, so it's an international day, or more a national day of action. It was called for by unions. SEIU is the main union behind it. Right. It happens to be on the 2-month anniversary of the initiation of the Occupy Wall Street movement, which is to say, September 17th is when we took Zuccotti Square, and SEIU is specifically talking about infrastructure jobs and supporting the Obama jobs bill. So in Baltimore. We're going to be doing it 4:30 tomorrow at Howard and North, and having a rally on the Howard Street Bridge, which is the prettiest bridge we have in town.
Right,
this pretty bridge.
This is so close to MICA.
Yeah, close to MICA, right. Pretty. It has a lot
it's
of
beautiful.
Traffic on it and under
right.
it.
It's a great choice.
But it's happening in 35 cities across the country, most notably in New York, which is the birth of this movement. SEIU has been 1199 has been contributing a lot in New York and all along the Eastern Seaboard, but they're looking at turning out 20,000 or more people to do a Brooklyn Bridge thing in the afternoon. Very unfortunately for Mayor Bloomberg, he chose to energize everybody 2 days before this National
Isn't
Day
that
of
interesting?
Action.
Yeah.
When already at 7 a.m. there was a call to try and stop the what's that called the morning bell of the stock exchange. So folks are going to be all day long from 7 a.m. until later in the evening trying to affect the day, trying to celebrate that 2-month anniversary and in the case of SEIU calling for passage of the jobs bill.
So Lucas, are you going to be in Brooklyn tomorrow?
Can you repeat that?
Are you going to be in Brooklyn tomorrow?
Did you ask about the November 17th action?
Yes, that's what I'm talking about, yeah.
Yeah, so, I think you hit it right on the spot that Mayor Bloomberg really, like, we have to say thanks to him, just as Keith Olbermann did, because he really, I think after every time these kind of police raids and brutality happen, we grow in numbers.
Right.
Like, there's a saying that they arrest us and we multiply. So we've seen that with the Brooklyn Bridge accident and Oakland, where someone in Oakland almost died, and then 2 days later, 100,000 people out on the streets.
That is a possibility for tomorrow, you know. So we have to ask him, thanks for the escalation, thanks for the media coverage, thanks for all that, because tomorrow they're going to regret it, because we are going to shut the city down. And that's the goal, to really show people that the 99% are done. There's a point where they can exploit us, and we've reached that point. So people, it's going to be very good tomorrow, a lot of direct action, and it's going to lead for a big day of momentum to really grow the movement.
And let me just say, good.
I think, you know, just as a juxtaposition, it's been interesting with what Mayor Bloomberg did in the middle of the night, which was egregious to me. Here in Baltimore, we seem to have a different reaction from our politicians and from our mayor. How have you been interacting with the mayor? And are there any rumblings of change of happening?
We've had overwhelmingly a very cooperative relationship, more so with the police that have been representing the city. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's been pretty remarkable. But everybody has their limits. And it's 2 months old in where it was born in New York. Mm-hmm. But there are rumblings. The city doesn't know what to do with us, just as most cities don't know what to do with us. And the cities are talking amongst themselves. Like, this is a common dilemma for folks all over the country and mayors all over the country. So as Oakland was being evicted for the second time, and Wall Street and the Occupy Wall Street was being evicted from Zuccotti Square, the city decided to contact us again to reinitiate the permitting process, which they had asked us for a permit. We applied for a permit, and then they responded a week or two later. We responded to them, and then we couldn't get in touch with them. They just ignored us. Until just a few days ago, when they contacted us again and said, "So what's happening with that permit? We never heard back from you." And we're like, "Hello, we've been trying to reach you for 3 weeks." So it's a curious time to do it. We know through a couple of different sources that mayors across the country have been talking, trying to figure out how to deal with it.
And the city council in Seattle voted 9-0 to support the Occupy Seattle.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to go to Steve next caller, but let me read these things I've been reading about tomorrow across the country. Boston, Detroit, Washington, D.C., Portland, here in Baltimore, Seattle, they're all focusing on bridges in terms of building the infrastructure in America. The folks in Boston said that they're going to focus on the city's North Washington Street Bridge to focus on jobs. That in Portland, protesters are going to target a city bridge and then try to organize flash mobs to go to local banks. Mm-hmm. Detroit protesters are marching from a camp downtown to the city's municipal center. This is going to be across America. This is going on. Atlanta will hold events at two major corporations and then march to a major bridge. And Home Depot and Verizon they're targeting. So this is like in Memphis, they're having a midnight march across the bridge to the city center. In Phoenix, the movement is targeting city's light rail network during rush hour. So it is happening across America.
Yeah,
it's
exciting. I think.
Let's see what our listeners think, whether they like it or not. 410-319-8888. Stephen, in Baltimore, you're on the air.
Yes.
Hi, Stephen.
I just had a quick comment. one is that, you know, I'm very much grateful for, you know, the whole Occupy Wall Street movement and occupies across the country. But I do have a concern in regards to that the movement, you know, very much organic and spontaneous, but with the elections coming up, that, you know, different forces are wanting to co-opt the movement, because the movement has been, from the beginning, has made it very clear that it's not about the two parties, but I have lately seen or whatever, you know, MoveOn.org and other particularly Democratic organizations, and I'm just concerned that it's being channeled into the electoral arena, which, to be honest with you, for the last 20 years hasn't materially gained poor and working people really much. And people might disagree with that or whatever, but I just hope or whatever that it doesn't become co-opted, that it becomes, you know, turn out the vote for Obama and in 2 years or whatever, because, you know, we've been down this road before and it failed. And so I see it and I understand and I appreciate it has given room
for, like, the unions to organize or whatever, but that's just one of my concerns of being co-opted, particularly for the Democratic Party.
I think that's interesting because, and I think that's an interesting point. I think that so many people are suffering that no one party can co-opt this, you know. And I think both parties would try to co-opt it and say, well, we are the party who are trying to make change. But often we do understand that there is one party that really is trying to make that type of change. It's been interesting this week because a couple of GOP hardliners, as we were talking about before, Coburn, who is an extremely ultra-conservative member of Congress, said, welfare for the well-off, we need to get rid of it. He decries it. Even Limbaugh railed against the 1% this week. You know, there has been some really shocking folks who have been coming out not specifically in support of Occupy Wall Street, but tangentially supporting Occupy Wall Street. So, but because it's an election year, there's going to be some electioneering. That's just the way it is.
And I think that what he raised is an interesting question, too, on another level, Leah. And I'm curious what our occupiers and right. union folks think about this. I mean, I think what I've seen in this Occupy movement is that it's very broad.
Right.
I mean, it's broad in terms of people who are from unions, people who support Barack Obama, I say they're going to vote for him, and people who are saying, no, I'm not going to vote for him. This is actually not about Obama.
Right. That's
or the
what's
presidency.
Been so
this
interesting.
It's about the state of the, the state of the country and not falling into the Obama for or against. Would you say that's
fascinating.
True? Let's go around the country and see. Let's start with New York and come back to Baltimore.
Lucas.
You think that's true, Lucas?
Yes. Yeah, I think this movement is really about diverging from both political parties because if you look at it, the Democrats and the Republicans are the ones funded by corporations. And if you see, actually, Obama right now is the one that is most funded by Wall Street. So you see there's a big conflict of interest with corporations and people who are supposed to represent us and their communities. So I think there's a big disconnect between the people and the representatives of the people. That's why this movement aims not to just enact legislation, because we don't want to see our movement co-opted by any politician, because politicians have already proved to us that they are incapable of representing us. So therefore, we are taking it upon ourselves to establish our own institutions and shift our energy and resources away from depending on the government and the parties to actually going to schools that are going to be closed, occupying them, and then starting our own educational system that is truly democratic. That's just an abstract example, but that's something we are trying to create, you know, creating an alternative world by not depending on what is already existing in Congress and the White House.
And how do you feel about this long kind of bridge, I think, not to be punny because we're doing bridges, I mean, people are going to do bridges tomorrow, but it is not about Barack Obama so much as it's about what's around and happening in America.
Absolutely. I mean, when we talk about good jobs, better Baltimore, we are not just focusing on politics, but we're making sure that we're coming after some of these corporations that are doing things that are awful to our people, especially in Baltimore. Speaking of, we have been doing a lot of work on the BGE merger, which we believe that, you know, somebody has to hold them accountable for what they're trying to do. We want to make sure there's strong job protections for the people that already have jobs and then make sure that our rates have went up dramatically. So we want to make sure that our rates don't go up anymore and they actually go lower. So that I say all this to say that good jobs better Baltimore, as well as the unions, care about making sure holding these corporations accountable and not just our politicians, because those are the people that are making a lot of the decisions.
And to hear Mike before we get to our next caller, we only have a few minutes left. Clarence called back just to leave a message to say, the movement is really about those who influence the politicians. It's not about the politicians themselves.
Yeah, indeed. And it's significant that this came up while Obama was in office. You know, the Hope and Change president that failed in both of those things. And that means to me that this movement isn't going to be suckered in again. Politicians are going to need to respond to the movement, but this movement obeys more international social movement lines. It's horizontal. It's autonomous. Hopefully these aren't total leftist buzzwords or social movement buzzwords that nobody understands. But here in Baltimore, the main campaign that we're working on coming out of this is a campaign to talk about development and money in Baltimore, focused specifically around the BDC, the Baltimore Development Corporation, and not looking along party lines, but looking to build a more participatory process that replaces the way that that planning and development public investment is done in the city.
Get another call in here before we
run
out the hour?
Yeah, let's try to get him in.
Terry, you're on the air.
Hi, Terry.
Hello. Mark and guests, thank you for talking about Occupy. I'm a Unitarian Universalist minister, and I just want to say I've been working with the faith-based community down in D.C. to drafting a letter of support for the Occupy movement. 7 different Unitarian Universalist congregations in that area banded together cooperatively to provide 1 week's evening meals for Freedom Plaza and then 1 week for McPherson Square.
Fantastic.
And the Occupy movement is the most exciting democratic movement that anyone has seen in a long time.
I agree.
And it addresses the absolutely immoral divide between the very wealthy and the growing gap of inequality in this country, which would have been decried from the Hebrew prophets up all the way, of whom Jesus, of course, was one, all the way up through the Catholic bishops with their strong statement of support about economic justice. Mm-hmm. And what we have done to our young people, the faith community really has to step up in support for this movement and increased justice, economic justice, and hope for the future. I'll shut up there.
No, that's fine. Yeah,
that's
shut up. Yeah, that
I think we just send out huge kudos.
Amen.
Yeah, amen. To exactly.
That's
what
why I think
doing.
That's why I was even this movement is that broad. I mean, it's inclusive.
It's exceptionally broad.
It's not. I mean, I talk to union workers and talk to other people who are in New York and in Washington and in other places around the country who clearly are going to pull Barack Obama's lever. Mm-hmm. And there are people I talked to in the movement who want nothing to do with Barack Obama or a Republican at all, want to be outside all of that. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm saying. This is beyond elected politicians. It's about
it's
the state of our society
different.
And what has to change.
Right.
The terms of the conversation have been changed dramatically by Occupy, and I just want to thank them for that.
Indeed.
I want to thank all of our guests for being with us. This has been great. And Lucas Vasquez is always a really good man. One day I want to meet you face to face. It's great to have you on the air with us all the time.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you, Lucas.
Always good to have you, Lucas Vasquez.
Good luck tomorrow, man.
Yeah, good luck tomorrow with what happens in New York. He's part of Occupy Wall Street New York, an organizing participant, and is a senior at Walt Whitman High School in Huntington, New York. Jennifer Foster joins us for the first time. It's great to have her in the studio. She's an organizer with Good Jobs.
Thanks, Jennifer.
Better Baltimore tomorrow at?
At Howard Street Bridge. It's on Howard and North Avenue at 4:30. If you have any other questions, go to www.goodjobsbetterbaltimore.org. I hope I plugged everything in.
You did. And Mike McGuire is here again with us. Occupy Baltimore participant, member of Red MS Collective. Always good to see you, brother, having you in the studio. My dear friend Leah Gilmore co-hosting today. Always good to have you here.
There you go. It's always great to be here.
It is. And so we have to produce our Christmas show together.
Oh, yeah. That's
coming
up.
We got to come up and do that.
Yeah.
Thank you all for writing in and calling in and making the show what it is. We want you to stay tuned for Urban Health Care, hosted by Marilyn Harris Davis, coming up right behind us. The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Justin Levy and Cricket Aronson. We're engineered by Zachary Coleman, who makes the station hum. Our theme music is by Wal Matthews of Clean Cuts. To hear this show again, podcast any of our past shows, find out about our guests and what they're up to and what they're doing, visit us on the web at steinershow.org. And for Public Radio, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. I'm Mark Steiner. Take care.
Thank you.
The Mark Steiner Show is made possible by MECU, Baltimore's credit union, and the Maryland Department of Housing and Community Development.